Let's go ahead and open our Bibles up to Hebrews. We're looking at the fundamental doctrines, fundamental errors in doctrine of that have to be there in order for you to get this twisted interpretation of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. These errors have to be there for you to come to this conclusion. You have to start with anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be truth, but you have to start with something, with a premise, with a foundation, and go on from there. And that's how they've gotten to this. And I've tried to point those out for us. I hope it's making sense. I hope everybody's understanding it, but that's what it is. You have to have these fundamental errors in doctrine in order to come to this perverted understanding of what this text says. Okay, so we're going to pick up in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." So this is, again, I'm just going to say it many times, but I want us to understand what is being taught. The leaven that has come into our church, and by leaven I mean false doctrine, is that this doctrine of Christ mentioned here in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, these six doctrines laid out, repentance, faith, baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. The leaven that's come in is saying that these are all Old Testament dealing with the Levitical sacrificial system and the Levitical priesthood. Okay, that's what's being said. Now, coming up to even the point we got to last week, I'll just be honest with you, none of it makes sense to me that that's even a possibility as I look at this. None of it makes sense. When you just look at the name of what it says, what they're saying we need to leave is ridiculous to me. It doesn't make any sense. But beyond that, when we get to verse 2 and it says of the doctrine of baptisms, and I dealt with this last week, I spent most of the time there last week, and I'm going to start with it this week again just to remind us that in order for you to take this right here where it says the doctrine of baptisms, in order for you to take it to the Old Testament and make it fit with the Levitical sacrificial system, you have to be willing to correct the Bible. Amen. Okay? You have to be willing to correct the Bible. Now, the stand of this church has always been, and it's never been anything different, it's never even been close to anything different. Because I believe this before I ever got here, that the Word of God is found in the King James Bible. The perfect, without error, Word of God is found in the King James Bible. And I've taught that from day one. I've never wavered on that. I've never backed off on that. I've always taught that. And I've always stood there. And I still stand there. More stronger than ever. I mean, I've never weakened on that. It makes perfect sense to me. I can see it taught throughout the Bible. Whether somebody likes that or not, that's another matter. Okay, but I believe right here, I hold in my hands the perfect Word of God. There's no errors. There's no word that needs to be changed. Not one. Okay, I don't believe that. And in order for you to come to the conclusion that this is speaking about the Old Testament Levitical washings, as we talked about last week, you have to correct the Bible. And look, that's fine if somebody wants to do that. If that's what they're going to do in order to come to their conclusion, their understanding of what this passage says, that is absolutely fine. Now, people don't believe me when I say stuff like that, but I'm a Baptist and I do believe in soul liberty. Amen. I believe you can choose whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want. Now, I think if you disagree with me, you're foolish because you're just wrong. And I do. And people think, well, you're such a proud person to say that. No, I'm not, because you think you're right too in what you believe. Or you'd think differently. That's just common sense. All of us think we're right. Or we would believe differently. If I thought I was wrong about something, I'm not going to stay wrong. How dumb is that? So of course I think I'm right. So if you want to believe differently, then you're wrong. Go ahead and be wrong. But someone is allowed to say, well, no, I think we should interpret this in a different way. It should have been translated different. They made a mistake here. It should say washings. Because I'll tell you what, you will never, not one time in the Old Testament, are you going to find the word baptism, baptized, baptized. Never. Never. It's not there. So the only way you're going to make the connection from this doctrine of baptisms to the Old Testament is to correct the Bible, to change what it says, to change the perfect Word of God, and say, well, it shouldn't say that, it should say washings, ablutions. I read you a bunch of different translations, how they pervert the Word of God. I've read you a bunch of that. Now, we've got a problem if we've said all along that, hey, well, I believe the King James Bible is the perfect Word of God, and then we get to this, and we got to flip on that all of a sudden in order to make this make sense. We've got a problem here. You've got a contradiction in your beliefs. You better figure out where you stand. Okay, if that's what someone is willing to do, they have to figure out where they stand on that. And look, they don't have to stand where I stand on the King James Bible. They don't. They can say, I was wrong about that. I think it really should be corrected. Hey, okay, I can. I understand. You believe what you want. You can do that. Everyone gets to do that. You get to believe what you want. You can say, I think Pastor Pineda's nuts, and I think he's completely wrong on this. Hey, you get to believe that. Go for it. You can believe that. But you'll never make that connection apart from correcting the Word of God. That's my point. That's the biggest point in all this, is that right there. If I got to correct the Bible to believe a doctrine, I'm not believing it. I won't. If I have to go to the Greek in order to explain it, I'm just, no. That I don't need that because I have the perfect Word of God here. If the world blew up tomorrow and all I could take with me was my King James Bible, I'd be good to go. I'd have everything God needed for me to have. I'd have everything I needed. Okay, so that is a fundamental error in their doctrine in order to get this perverted understanding of this. And again, I talked about that earlier and said, you know, people hear pervert and they think, well, that's so harsh. Well, isn't that what it is? If it's not truth, it's a perversion of truth. Correct? I mean, that's what it is. Either you have the truth or you have a perversion of the truth. Right. Now, if they believe differently than me, and they believe that, no, this isn't talking about New Testament principles for churches. This is talking about the Old Testament Levitical sacrificial system. Then they could say the very same thing of me. Hey, if someone wants to hold to my perverted view, they could say that. Because if what they believe is truth, and I'm believing different than truth, then my understanding of what I think it's saying is perverted. Now, I don't think that's the case, and this is what I've taught all along, and here's the reasons why. I've given you some of them already, and we will go through the passage, and I'm going to look at the passage at each one of these things. I'm going to give you what they say about it, what the false teachers say about it. Okay, I'm going to give you their own words. I'll quote it to you. I'll let you judge for yourself. Here's what they're saying this is. Here's how they're explaining this away, and I'll let you decide for yourself. But I absolutely believe that they have a perverted view of what this is saying. Again, there's many keys to this, but something else we have to understand is, who is Hebrews written to? That is fundamental to this whole issue going on here. It's written to churches and church members.
Amen.
Okay? Who happen to come from a Jewish background. Okay? 1 Corinthians is written to churches and church members who happen to come from a pagan background.
Amen.
Okay, so obviously there's going to be different issues they have to deal with. They have to teach them. But it's still the same thing. It's churches and church members. And they're teaching them New Testament doctrine. New Testament truth. Things dealing with the new covenant. Okay, so as we continue on, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we ask that you'd help us to understand the truth of the Word of God. Please open our eyes of understanding. Help us to not be hard-hearted, to not be obstinate in our ways, Lord, but to look at what the Word of God says and be willing to accept it. God, if we just want to follow the light of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray you would help us. I pray you'd guide us in that and help me as I teach this, that it would be clear and that I would be able to help people to understand it. But I just pray you guide us in this, Lord. We need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, someone could tell me, they say, you need to be open-minded about this. Maybe you're wrong. That's true. We should be open-minded about certain things. Okay? But I don't need to be open-minded and consider something I know is error. When I've already studied it out and I know what the Bible teaches on it, I don't need to be open-minded about it. I will give you an example. If somebody came to you and said that salvation is by works and not of faith, and they say, you need to be open-minded about that and study this out, what would you tell them? What if they quoted to you James, that salvation is by works and not of faith? And they quoted to you James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And you need to be open-minded and study this out. Now, I want you to think about it. What would you do? Do you need to study that out? No. If it's okay. No, we don't. If we're grounded in the Word of God, we don't need to be. Because let's go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. There's certain things I don't need to study out because... And yes, if you don't know at all, then you do need to study it out. But I'm talking about if we've been taught, we've been grounded in what the Word of God says, and someone comes up and says this stuff, there's certain things I don't need to study because I already know what the Bible says about it. So I don't even need to consider error if I already know what the Bible says about it. So if they're saying that salvation is by works and not of faith, well, let's just read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there it is. Based on that, I don't need to countenance what they're saying. I don't need to consider what they're saying. I don't have to do that. I don't have to give an ear to it. Well, you should just really listen to this and see if it's right. No, I don't need to. I know it's wrong. I know it's error. I know it's got poison in it. That's like someone makes your favorite meal. Picture whatever your favorite meal is, and as they're making it, you see them pour poison into it. You say, well, you just need to try it. It's a really good recipe. I know this is your favorite meal. I prepared it just how you like. I just added that one extra recipe. But I know you like it. Well, I know there's poison in it. I'm not going to eat that. Are you crazy? Why would I eat something I know is poison? That doesn't make any sense. Well, when I know something contains doctrinal error, why am I going to countenance it? I don't need to consider it. I don't need to listen to it. I know that it's wrong. Amen. So I don't need to consider it. I don't have to consider it. I don't have to give you a hearing. I don't need to do that. Here's what I need to do. I need to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Amen. That's a command from God. And it's pretty clear. Mark them which cause the divisions and the offenses which are contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid those people that bring that division. That's what the Bible says. So I don't have to give it a hearing. Rather, let me say, none of us, you don't have to give it a hearing. You don't have to listen to it. There's no need for that. Now, we all want to be and need to be like the Bereans. This is where there's a balance on it. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Because we need to be like the Bereans and, you know, search the Scriptures daily to see if those things are so. But once we've been taught something, that's why it's marked them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, which you have learned. You've been taught it already. You've already searched the Scriptures. You already know. So I don't need to countenance it.
Amen.
I don't need to listen to that. I don't need to receive error. I don't need to do that. I need to know what the Word of God says. And you may have to study it so you can refute it better. Because we need to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you. We need to be ready to do that. But Paul told Timothy to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses. And the same commit thou to faithful men, which shall be able to teach others also. The same. Not something different, but the same. The same you commit. The same thing you've been taught. You say, well, what about helping somebody that's in that error? A man after the first and second admonition reject. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Heretic means one that brings division. That's what the word heretic means, division. So a man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition reject him. Be like, I tried. I gave you the chance. You've been taught the truth and you've rejected it. So now I reject you. I mark and avoid. That's what has to happen. These are principles from the Word of God in regard to this. None of this is easy to receive. None of this is easy to say. It's not for me. But this is what the Bible teaches, and we're either going to be disciples of Jesus Christ or we're going to be followers of men. We're either going to be rooted and built up in Christ or we're going to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. That's it. And if we're going to receive this doctrine that has come in, this error, this false teaching that's come in, this leaven, if we're going to receive it, then we have to reject some things that we previously accepted. Okay, because as far as I know, everybody in this church accepted that the King James Bible is the perfect word of God, unless you were lying to me. I don't know. I can't know. But as far as I know, everyone in here said, yep, I see that it's the perfect word of God. Pastor, as you taught that, I understood it. I got it. No one came up and said, I don't agree with you. I think you're wrong. Not one person came up. Now, maybe you had that in your heart. That I can't know. But as far as I know, everyone agreed with that. So just based on that right there, if I got to correct the word of God to accept this, then I just wad it up and I throw it in the trash. That's nonsense. It's nonsense. Even if there may be something else I don't quite understand, I already know that's a contradiction on believing that God preserved His Word. So now, okay, wait, God then, I get it. Well, I get it. So it should say washings instead of baptisms. I get it, God, in all those places where You said that You'd preserve Your Word from this generation forever, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but Your Word shall not pass away. All those places that You gave those promises, God, You were lying. Now, nobody says that. But in order to accept that, that's what you're saying. God, You weren't telling the truth when You said You'd preserve Your Word. That the words of God are preserved from this generation forever. You were lying, God. See, that's by default, that's what it has to be. That's what it has to be. Even if someone will stand there and say, no, I believe the King James Bible is a perfect word of God. Not if you believe this. Not if you have followed this and to believe that this baptism is Old Testament washings. There ain't no connection. You're never going to make that connection. You won't ever make it. You'll never just, if you have a King James Bible, you'll never connect that from there to there.
Amen.
Unless you read after some commentator, or you're going to correct the Word of God. And the commentators correct the Word of God.
Yep.
That's what happens. That's the only way you're going to get taken back to there. Okay, that's it. Only way it's going to happen. So you have to, if you're going to accept this false doctrine that's come in, you're going to have to reject some things that you had previously accepted. John's baptism is one of them.
Yep.
You're going to have to reject John's baptism. Right. And I'm going to try and get to that today. I should get to that today on how you're going to have to reject John's baptism. All right. Well, let's look at this. Okay, there's going to be a rejection on the doctrine of the kingdom of God. Okay, you're going to reject the doctrine of the kingdom of God. All right, you have to. You can't not. The reason being is because in order to come to this perverted conclusion of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, you're only going to see lost or saved and not the church synonymous with the kingdom. And because of that, they're going to have misinterpretations throughout the whole book of Hebrews and even the Bible. But because they just see it as lost and saved, as the big C church, the universal church, spirit baptism, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about you're either saved or you're lost. So because that's how you see it, and by the way, these same people that teach this, that have brought this out, believe that salvation is puts you in the kingdom. Okay, they believe salvation is the kingdom, and they believe salvation puts you in the church. Okay, big C church. All right, universal church. Okay, so there's more things you have to reject in order to come to this strange conclusion. Because if you believe the church right, you're not going to be falling for this stuff. You're not, because you're saying it's not talking to lost and saved.
Amen.
When you get that, you're like, oh, it's not talking to lost and saved. It's talking to church members. That's who it's talking to. That's what's happening here. So if they're church members, they have to be saved. Because repentance comes before faith.
Amen.
And faith comes before the water. Amen. And we see that right here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2.
Amen.
But they'll say, well, no, we don't believe that's what it's talking about. Okay, then go look through the rest of the New Testament. You're going to see the same thing. You're going to see repentance first. You're going to see faith. Then you're going to see the water. It's always like that. It's never any different. Funny how it was laid down like that right here as well.
Amen.
Same thing. It's the same thing. I'm telling you. You got to reject a lot. But if you see only lost or saved, and not the church synonymous with the kingdom, you're going to have misinterpretations. I'll give you some quick examples. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We've looked at these. These have been mentioned. Brother Brad mentioned these. I've mentioned these. I want us to see it, though. I want us to see the application of it applied to this right here, to understanding that you have to reject the doctrine of the kingdom to come to this conclusion. Because, again, they're seeing it as only lost or saved instead of church members. Okay, now remember, a proper interpretation, the church is synonymous with the kingdom. Chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we don't want to let them slip, so we better give earnest heed. We better listen. We don't want to let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience to receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Do you see it? Do you see it? He says right here, how shall we? We who? Who's he talking to? Are we going to lose our salvation? If we let it slip, is that what it's talking about? Because that's how they read it. It's salvation. So it's incumbent on me doing. It's now a works-based salvation. Or it's talking about the kingdom.
Amen.
Or it's talking about the kingdom. Because the author of this says we. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Who we? Who's the we? Church members. You can see it throughout the book. Brother Brad went through that. I hope you didn't miss that. I really hope you got that. Because that just laid it out very clear all the way throughout the book of Hebrews. And I'm sure he didn't even hit on all of them. And I've hit on them again. But who's the we? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Well, why? Will we lose our salvation if we don't? Oh, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let what slip? The things which we have heard. Well, we don't want to let them slip. It makes sense if you understand it within the kingdom. But if it's lost and saved, what's he talking about there? Okay? If we neglect so great salvation. We think every time we read salvation, Brother Brad dealt with this one. You can go back. Ah, man, I can get you the message if you want it. I didn't put it online. I'll get it to... We'll try and get that online, the audio of it online. I think I still have it on my phone. But we think every time we see the word salvation, it's talking about saved from the penalty of our sins. We typically think heaven and hell. It doesn't mean that. When Peter cried out, you know, Lord help me, was he saving him from his sins or was he saving him from drowning? There's all kinds of different types of salvation. And we just assume every time we see the word salvation, it has to be from our sin. All right. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Well, man, it's hard to... Goodness. Let's... Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, which cause he... This is speaking about Jesus Christ, the one that sanctifieth, those that are sanctified. For which cause he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them who? Those that are sanctified, call them brethren. Okay, well, we understand what sanctified is. It's talking about church members. It's funny, the next verse almost says the same thing. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. There it is again, brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And where did Jesus do that? Only place we ever see him singing in the church. Yep. Only place. There's only one place in the Bible. Yep. And that's after the Lord's Supper when they go out on the Mount of Olives and they sing as a church. And that's where he said, I'm going to sing amongst my brethren. Who? Those that are sanctified. And I'm the one that sanctifies them. I set them apart, which is the same understanding of what a church is, a called out assembly, set apart. We're to be saints in light, holy, sanctified. Okay, we're set apart for the service of God. That's what holy is. Okay, so that's what the brethren are. He's telling us what the brethren are. It's those that are in the church. Now, chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore holy who? Holy brethren. Who's he talking to then? Amen. He's talking to church members. That's who he's talking to. Holy brethren. This is the we he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 2. These holy brethren, these church members, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Okay, let's jump down to verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house. And we've beat that thing to death, I feel like, but it's talking about his church. That's who Jesus Christ is over. He's the head of the church. Okay, his body, the church. That's what his house is, 1 Timothy 3:15. Whose house are who? We. Who's the we? Chapter 3, verse 1, the holy brethren. Well, what are the holy brethren? Well, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, those that are part of his church, those that he's saying in the midst of, that's who the holy brethren are. That's what he's saying. Whose house are we? We are a part of that church. If, look here now, if this is talking about salvation, you can lose your salvation. You have to reject the doctrine of the kingdom if you're going to hold to this stuff, because it's got to be lost and saved. So you can't say, well, I reject what you guys are saying the doctrine of Christ is, and I think it's all Old Testament, but I still believe in the kingdom. Hold on, you can't. You wouldn't get to that conclusion if you by yourself had just said, I believe in the doctrine of the kingdom here, I'm going to go through Hebrews. Oh, look, this led me right back to the Old Testament Levitical sacrificial system. Oh, no, actually, I got there because I read a commentary by so-and-so. That's the only reason I got there, because baptism's not ever going to connect me there. If I do a word study on that, it'll never take me to the Old Testament. I won't even be looking in the Old Testament, because a word study's never going to get me there.
Amen.
See, this is the fallacy of this. When I start looking at this stuff, I say, there's just no way. There's no way. That's why I say, I can't understand it. I can't get it. I don't see it. I don't see it. Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We've got to hold it fast. We've got to do something. If it's salvation, I've got to work for it. So it's not the kingdom. It is the kingdom and their perverted understanding of it, because to them, the kingdom is salvation. But then, even if that's the case, now they've got a works-based salvation. Because I have to then hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath. Here's another fundamental misunderstanding people are going to have. We're going to get to it. So I swear in my wrath, verse 11, they shall not enter into my rest. There's part of it. Take heed, brethren. Oh, funny. What does that mean? Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. There's so much in this right here. I hope you're already seeing it. As I'm reading it, I hope you're seeing it. This is, man, I'm telling you, get your Bible out and read while I'm reading. Get it. It will help you. It'll help you more than just hearing it. Hear it and see it. Amen. And then you'll start making the connections yourself. You'll start seeing it yourself. It'll help you more than you know. More than you know. We have the privilege of having a Bible.
Amen.
Of holding it in our lap. Use it. You'll get more out of the preaching of the Word of God if you'll do that. You'll get more out if you take notes. And I'm not saying you have to, but you'll get more out of it if you write things down. Even if you never go back and look at those notes again, just the fact of you writing it down. See, there's hearing it. People learn by hearing. But then if you're seeing it as well, you've got two methods of receiving something. But if you're also writing it down, that's three now. And it's all the more going to stick with you when you do those types of things. It'll help you. It's for your benefit. There's so much in here. I probably won't get to John's baptism today, but we'll look at that next week. I guess I'll just spend more time with this here because I've got even more to look at. Okay, so verse 6 says, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if? So it's a possibility you're not a part of this house. And that possibility says, if we hold fast the confidence. So it's based on me doing something, me holding fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So it's based on my works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this is saying, wait, whatever it is, I'm a part of his house if I do something. Well, that contradicts Ephesians 2:8-9. So if it's salvation, wait a minute, we got a problem with the Bible here. We got a contradiction now. Everything just blew up in its face. So that can't be. So what is this saying? Well, it's dealing with kingdom.
Amen.
It's kingdom law. And I can forfeit my right to be a part of this house by my actions.
That's right.
By my actions. And if I'm out of his house, entrance into his house is entrance into his kingdom. I'm out of his kingdom. But I can maintain that position if I hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So he goes on to say, verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. What generation? Well, those that hardened their hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, those that wandered in the wilderness. Now let me ask you, see, because here's the assumption that has to be made because of their understanding of what this is, because their understanding of what salvation is, because their understanding of what the kingdom is, and their whole misinterpretation of all of Hebrews, really, because what is the basis they're coming at Hebrews with in order to get this tortured understanding in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2? What is the basis they're coming to it with? Is that Hebrews is dealing with what two types of people? Nope, lost and saved. That's okay, lost and saved. It's been a lot, and I've taught through this already for a few weeks, so don't feel bad. But it's dealing with lost and saved. That's their understanding of what it's dealing with. So they come to it with that, and they have that understanding. So they look at this, and then they say, well, this has to be then that those in the wilderness were lost. Although they had the faith to apply the blood at the Passover. Amen. Didn't they? And they were baptized. Yep. And they were baptized. The Bible calls it that in Acts chapter 7. They had the faith to put the blood over the doorposts in the Passover, and the death angel passed over them. They believed God for salvation as we typically think of it. But you can't accept that if you want Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 to mean the Old Testament Levitical system that we're supposed to leave behind. You can't accept that. Because this is how they got to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 didn't happen in a vacuum. For them to just get there and say, that's what it's talking about. Nope. They had to see all this other stuff. They have to have all this. Remember, when you start with a false premise, when you start with error, you're not going to end up at truth. That's right. And they started at error, and there's no way they're going to end up at truth. They're just going to compound the error. It's just going to be more error on top of error. And they're off on the church. They're off on all these things that I've talked about. So because of that, they say, well, this is salvation. So since this is salvation, these people have to be lost. Because look what it says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See? They have an evil heart of unbelief. They didn't believe. They didn't believe. There it is. Well, Jesus asked this question, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Is it possible to have faith in God but not fully trust him? Yes. I mean, do you fully trust God for everything? Do you completely submit and obey his word and everything? Nope. So you believe God, but there's times you have an evil heart of unbelief. Otherwise, he wouldn't be saying what he says in verse 6. But Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing?